Day 283, Tuesday, November 7th. 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18 1-30 NKJV. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day, and would not let him go home to his father's house any more. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only 1,000s. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand, as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence, and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out, and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab, I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." So David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel the Meholathite as a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, "I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David a second time, "You shall be my son-in-law today." And Saul commanded his servants, "Communicate with David secretly, and say, 'Look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore, become the king's son-in-law.'" So Saul's servants spoke those words in the hearing of David. And David said, "Does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor and lightly esteemed man?" And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "In this manner David spoke." Then Saul said, "Thus you shall say to David, 'The king does not desire any dowry but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to take vengeance on the king's enemies.'" But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired, therefore David arose and went, he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal his daughter as a wife. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, and Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading program states, Jonathan, the son of Saul, immediately recognized in David the qualities he most admired. For, indeed, Jonathan was as courageous as David was. It would be helpful to go back and review the exploits of Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14:1-52, and compare them to the exploits of David, to better grasp the tremendous camaraderie that developed between them. Jonathan and David were kindred spirits. They made a covenant pledge to always be loyal to one another. Verse 3. Later, under adverse conditions, we will see them renew this friendship covenant. David's victory over Goliath and his newfound popularity, especially with the women, would soon inflame Saul's immature jealousy. David's ongoing successes will further expose the deteriorating character of Saul, verses 6-9. The more Saul gives vent to his rage, the more unstable his mental state becomes, and the more susceptible he is to the evil spirit troubling him, 16:14. Indeed, we open ourselves up to satanic influence if we do not control our anger, Ephesians 4:26-27. Saul becomes homicidal and twice tries to run David through with his spear, but David evades him. Realizing God was with David and not with him, Saul has a pathological fear of David. Not able to kill David, he gives him a responsibility that will keep him away, verses 12-13. Samuel had anointed David to be king, but had not given David any kind of timetable. David knows to bide his time, conduct himself properly and wait on God. Even David's quiet conduct enrages Saul and causes him to fear David even more. Verse 15. Saul then hatches a plot to have David killed. He stoops to using his daughter as bait to trap David, never expecting David to survive the seemingly impossible ordeal proposed to him. Verse 21. In his own eyes, David considers himself to be lightly esteemed. Verses 18-23. Though he is destined to be king of Israel, in his innate meekness, David cannot see himself in Saul's royal circle. Here is another lesson for us to emulate: to remain humble despite the awesome divine kingship to which God has destined us. Saul's plot fails with David surviving and succeeding twice over. Amazingly, though Saul acknowledges that God is with David, he becomes even more the enemy of David. Verses 28-30. We will continue to see how God works out every situation to fulfill his plan for David. And, verse 5, the NKJV says everywhere Saul sent David, that David behaved wisely. This word means to be circumspect, to be prudent, to wisely understand, but it also means to have good success. The Bible shows these two things are connected. When one obeys, fears God and applies his principles, success comes. David was being mindful of how he behaved and he was being blessed. Verse 7. Adam Clark's commentary includes, though Saul has been victorious in all his battles, yet he has not had such great odds against him as David has had. Saul, indeed, has been opposed by thousands, David, by ten thousands. We may here remark that the Philistines had drawn out their whole forces at this time, and when Goliath was slain, they were totally discomfited by the Israelites, led on chiefly by David. And verse 13, it seems clear that Saul wanted to get rid of David, not only from his court, but likely hoping that David would die in battle as he led his troops. On the statement, and he went out and came in before the people, John Gill adds, or at the head of them, as the Targum, he led them out to war, and returned with them in safety, with victory and in triumph, with great honor, and highly respected by them, quite contrary to the intention and hope of Saul. Verse 16, There is a way we can lead that helps people to follow and support our leadership, or we can lead in other ways that makes people dislike and not respect us. David was a natural leader, and because he submitted to and obeyed God, God gave him favor with the people. Verse 17, of Saul giving Merab to David, John Gill states, most interpreters understand it, that he was obliged to this by promise, on account of David slaying Goliath. 1 Sa. 17:25. But Abarbanel is of another mind, and he rightly observes, that the words referred to are not the words of Saul, but of the men of Israel, who might suppose what the king would do, or if they heard anything like it spoken by Saul, it was only in a hyperbolical way, signifying he did not care what he gave, and what he parted with, to the man that killed the Philistine, but was not strictly bound to this particular thereby, nor did David ever claim such promise, nor did Saul think himself bound to do it, but proposes it as an instance of his great kindness and favor, as he pretended, and therefore expected great returns for it, as follows, and, we also clearly see that Saul's intentions are dishonorable. He hopes David will die in battle. Verse 21, we see time and time again that Saul has bad intentions in what he does, even when on the surface it looks good. Verse 30, John Gill's commentary states, showed himself to be more expert in the art of war, and formed designs with great wisdom and prudence, and which he has wisely executed, as well as with great courage and valor, to the annoyance and defeat of the enemy, and to the advantage, defense, and safety of the people of Israel, or he was more prosperous than they, as the Targum, and so others interpret it. He was more successful in his attacks on the Philistines, and in his skirmishes with them.